Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Stock Club with myself, Jack.
And me, Ed.
And this week we've got a guest speaker, one of our closest friends, George.
Hello. George is here to join us to talk about something that we all are interested in, but are always a bit scared by, I think, in my case, crypto and the weird world of electronic currencies.
Yeah, I think this week we just wanted to, I think George, yeah, get George's views and thoughts on something that he knows a lot more than the pair of us. But it's something that has been in the news now probably for about 6 months, and it just doesn't seem to be going away. So we've kind of developed a bit of a fear of missing out complex. So we thought it'd be good just to talk through the basics, and yeah, and just get a basic understanding of what it actually is.
So, George, do you want to just briefly explain your involvement in crypto and what you involve, what you currently
Yeah,
believe you are
sure.
in and stuff like that,
So
really?
I actually got involved in Bitcoin literally right at the start, which to me is actually a bit of a sore spot, because I got involved right around 2000, 2010, 2011. I actually got Bitcoins from what at the time were called faucets, where people were literally just giving them out for free. You just have to go to a website, click a button, and you'd get your Bitcoin sent to your wallet. So yeah, I mean, you can imagine people literally just giving away money, which at the time was less than like 50p per Bitcoin or something crazy like that. So I've been following it for a long time. Unfortunately, when it started to take off, I was very poor because we were students.
I think I actually remember this. Because I think you had at one point, didn't you get rid of them all and you bought like a laptop? And I was blown away by the fact that you got this laptop through this meme virtual money. But at the time, hindsight's a wonderful thing. At the time, it was great. You did very
Mate,
well.
it's actually worse than a laptop. I used the money to buy Minecraft.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah,
This is meme on
so
top of meme.
I.
It's like that famous story of the guy who bought a pizza with Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
And at the time, it was like, oh, look at me, I just bought a pizza with free money. But now you think that pizza was probably worth about
Yeah,
£200,000.
so I think I cashed in about 12 Bitcoin at the time to buy beta access to Minecraft, which I now regret terribly because well, that would be worth a lot of money now.
Yeah, and I think I guess in that you've hit on the first point of call that it's gone stratospheric over the last, what,
Yeah,
9 months?
so back in 2015, 2016, I started dabbling in it again, started working and getting some money. And then I got back in then, and there was the 2017 bubble, and I cashed out, and that's when I bought the computer, which was awesome, for a very small investment. But then after that bubble hit in 2017, I was like, oh geez, I can't be throwing money at this if it's just gonna potentially go down the toilet again. So I held off a bit until earlier this year, and in that time, as you quite rightly said, it's just gone absolutely gangbusters. Yeah, so I have some positions in Bitcoin. Ethereum is doing extremely well, and then some other coins that I just sort of picked up along the way for doing various things on the internet, like signing up for stuff. People are just giving them out, and they're doing all right. But the main positions is about 70% Bitcoin, 25% Ethereum, and then the rest is all sort of the meme coins.
Yeah. And I think that's probably something as well that we can probably touch on is the different types, because a lot of people see the headlines around Bitcoin and think that is cryptocurrency. But actually, when you do a bit of digging, there are, I don't know, hundreds, thousands, would it be true
Yeah.
to say that of different
Definitely. And
types?
there have been just straight up scams and money laundering schemes with these coins. So the idea behind a lot of the digital currencies is that they're scarce by nature. that like Bitcoin can only ever have 120 million Bitcoin. You can't make any more than that. A lot of them have been lost over the years. And so there's scarcity there built in. And what a lot of people were doing is they were pre-mining all the coins very easily, and then basically selling them to mugs. So BitConnect springs to mind, stuff like that. And so I guess that's made people quite wary about investing as well. Some quite high profile scams. But yeah, as you said, there's a number of different crypto assets that you can own that actually do different things. So Bitcoin, I think, is seen as more of the store of wealth, the store of value, kind of like digital gold. There's only going to ever be that amount of it. And so realistically, as long as people think it's worth something, it will keep going up. And then you've got something like Ethereum, which is more of a technology. And the network of computing power that they use to sort of run the Ethereum network can be used to make sort of contracts. So if you have an insurance contract, you could tie it to the Ethereum blockchain, can't change it, it's never going away. And that's sort of how those work. And there's loads of other different ones. There's some that actually now, like there's one called DAI, so DAI, that actually gives you a return on your investment the longer you hold the coin, which is crazy to think that, you know.
That I've experienced that with Algorand. That was one, like, when I did a little bit of digging beyond Bitcoin and Ethereum, that was something that I saw, and I put a very small amount of money into it. And then, suddenly I saw this, like, pay as you earn thing, and I was like, what? Like, or, pay as you hold kind of thing. So it's there's a vast there's a lot going on, isn't there? There's a lot of different types and different kind of, it's not all a
Yeah,
growth overnight
absolutely. I mean,
thing.
if I was, and I have been recently sort of telling people about it and saying, you know, maybe you should have some positions just to hedge your bets a little bit. It doesn't have to be massive, but if you can make a few hundred quid there, you know, here and there, it's probably not a bad thing. But I would, anyone that's sort of new to it, I would recommend that they stay in the sort of the main coins. So Bitcoin, Ethereum, that sort of realm, the more sort of established ones. Otherwise, you could get caught out quite easily.
I mean, because it's all being still pretty much traded on the belief that one day that this will be able to be traded a bit more with a bit more certainty, I suppose, isn't it? Because at the moment, obviously, it's just done purely on trust. I suppose the same as any currency, really, but there isn't any physical backup to the Bitcoin or Ethereum thing. There isn't like the Bank of England's got a lump of gold that gives the wealth. Some meaning, I suppose. So, is there going to be more, how to say, credibility to these stock to these coins in the future that gives the investor a bit more something to grab hold of
Definitely.
for what
So
they've
one
bought?
of the things I think is giving it a lot of its credibility now is the huge amount of institutional investment there is. So you've got MicroStrategy, Tesla, Square, all of these sort of very high profile companies investing literally billions of dollars into Bitcoin. And that's something that we didn't see in the 2017 bubble. It's a really, really interesting move. And people like MicroStrategy have been buying all throughout 2020 after the COVID sort of situation started kicking off. They saw all of the sort of rampant money printing that was going on, various sort of overvaluing of the stock market, and just basically put two and two together and said, well, there's probably going to be huge amounts of inflation soon. We need to protect our assets from that inflation. So they started buying huge amounts. I think they currently have something like, I think it's 90,000 Bitcoin they have now that's worth near enough 6 billion. And
Quite a lot.
their sort of average pricing of all of that as they bought was about 2 billion. So they've made a huge amount of money just by simply buying and holding Bitcoin.
Yeah. if they were to try and realize that stock and realize that profit, obviously it's a lot. I mean, obviously 90,000 isn't anything compared to 120 million, but in terms of a daily trade, a 6 billion obviously would be a lot in one go. So that would they be able to realize that profit safely, or would they
I mean,
have to
technically,
drip feed that
it
back
is
out?
totally liquid. Like, they could just put that all on the market and sell it all instantly. It's very easy to do. But I don't think they're going to do that anytime soon. Like, they're paying their board in Bitcoin. I think they, you know, and it gives a lot of credence to Bitcoin overall. They're saying, we think that this isn't even a reserve for them anymore. I think something like 70% of their actual holding against their market cap is tied to Bitcoin now. So it's absolutely insane.
Wow.
But you know, you've also got people like Elon Musk and Tesla holding huge amounts. Square as well have vast quantities of Bitcoin, some many thousands. So I think that sort of, I really would be surprised if in the next sort of few months, as various filings come in, you don't see more companies holding Bitcoin, because it's gone very well for the ones that have it so far.
Yeah. So is that where they traditionally would have held on to gold, they're now replacing with Bitcoin.
And we've seen that disclosure and the realization of companies like Tesla holding Bitcoin affect share prices, right? Like, we saw that with the Tesla share price. We've seen that with MicroStrategy. Like, and I think you're right that more disclosures over the next maybe 6 to 9 months, even 12 months, will reveal more companies have been doing this maybe before this real ramp up over Christmas. Maybe, like you say, as a hedge with the uncertainty of COVID. And now they've disclosed it, that will only positively affect the price, because it shows that more companies have the trust in it. So it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy almost. And so I guess that you then kind of think, well, do you see this rise going on indefinitely? I mean, I was reading things in January that said this is the top of the hill, and from now on it will only go down. And then it was like, oh, February came around and Bitcoin hits 50,000 USD, and it's like, wow, that was a landmark. But then it slid, and people are going, oh, that's it. That there's the top of the hill. Then fast forward 2 months later, and we've hit 60,000. So, in your opinion, and you know, we can't see the future, but in your opinion, do you see this continuing for a little while yet, or is it prone to the volatility and the slides that we saw in 2017?
Yeah, I obviously personally, I hope it keeps going up. Over the last sort of few months, I've been looking at a good time to buy back in, and every time I think I'll wait for the next dip, and it's just kept going. There definitely has to be some sort of correction. I think a lot of the stuff that's fueling it is there's obviously a lot of quantitative easing in the States. People are just literally getting cashes, you know, a check for cash, which they can just chuck straight into Bitcoin if they want. Mm. And a similar thing with the stock market, I think, as well. So I think it still has some legs. I know some people are saying we're targeting like 90 to 100K in the next few months. Maybe that's a bit wishful thinking, but I truly think that there's still an awful lot of upside in it with all of this institutional buying, because a lot of the institutional buying as well is done over the counter. So it doesn't directly affect the price that you'd see on trading platforms, because they're just buying it in bulk for an agreed price. And that's not really recorded. And doesn't affect the price too much. So obviously it's in their best interest to arrange those deals like that. So, I mean, as you said, can't predict the future, but I reckon there's still some upside in the very short term, at least.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know about you, George, but I've seen a lot of things that, you know, say that 100 USD is where this is all heading. That's the top of the bull run. Now, yes, we can't predict the future, but if that is the case, then it still very much has legs, almost double. You know, it's going to go, you know, where it was at 50,000, that's double. So, yeah, you know, I think maybe just to dip your toe in the water and, you know, see where it could go. There is that upside on offer.
You mentioned earlier on, George, that there's currently 120 million Bitcoin in the world. I read somewhere that they were planning on putting in some dilutions. Is that still going ahead, or is
So
that, have I
there can
read that
only ever
wrong, or?
be 21 million Bitcoins. But what happens is, so Bitcoin
Okay.
is a decentralized network, and you essentially have to vote with mining power. So the miners would have to vote on where to take the technology. So there's been a couple of these in the past with Bitcoin Cash, and that was sort of around the 2017 mark as well, where they said, well, the transactions are taking a fairly large amount of time to go through for some of these big transactions. So we think there should be one that allows very fast transactions. And they made some alterations to the way that the Bitcoin code actually works. And that made Bitcoin Cash. So if you were holding Bitcoins before that split that happened, I think it was March of 2017 or something like that. You'd actually get some Bitcoin Cash as well. So basically for free. So if they wanted to make more
Right.
Bitcoin, they wouldn't be able to do it as Bitcoin. It'd have to be a divergence from what they what it currently is. As it stands, Bitcoin itself can only ever have 21 million. It's mathematically impossible to not have any more than that.
Oh, okay. I suppose that kind of gives you some kind of security as such. I mean, obviously, until you've got like a. Well, so you are, as you're saying, the company's now holding stuff. You have got a bit more sort of fabrication behind the coin, but I mean, before that, really, and with other coin, cryptocurrencies and stuff, that is almost a pyramid scheme, isn't it? Or like you're buying it on the hope that you're on the belief, I suppose, that you're going to sell it on to someone else for more in the future. So without an actual physical, tangible product, it's just it's all reliant on that belief system and the ever increasing optimism, I suppose, of the stock. But for me, that's the bit that I struggle to get my head around, because if I buy something, like I buy some shares in the company, I've got a share in that company. I've got a share in the infrastructure, in their branding, that kind of thing. Where with cryptocurrency, I'm always a bit sort of wary of what do I actually get
Yeah,
to
so
hold
yeah, you'd
onto
only be
physically in
holding
my hand.
the encryption keys to your wallet, really. But you know, you could say the same about
Yeah.
any fiat currency, really, couldn't you? They're not really backed by anything apart from government, and that can quickly go
Yeah.
sideways.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're always seeing, like, you see, particularly with inflation coming with the massive amount of money that the governments are handing out to people. I mean, even in this country, like in the UK, in Northern Ireland, everyone got like 500 quid cash sent to them. And in this country, I think they're giving everyone who's on certain types of benefits, they're giving them 500 quid as well. So like that money's been printed somewhere and is going into the system purely just to help basically the fact that they haven't really put interest rates up for too long. So there's not been much creation of wealth anywhere. And also being able to borrow money has been extremely cheap, obviously. So yeah, I can see how obviously normal currencies probably don't stack up too well against a cryptocurrency, and probably a cryptocurrency is probably run better. But yeah, that's my misgivings with them. That's all. It's like that's my red flags. But you know, if it's here to stay, then we're all gonna have to get on board, I think.
I think that's the thing, Ed. It's that plus the FOMO thing. Although I've seen as many stories about people losing money as I have done about people gaining money, I think if you look at it like any other investment and you look at it with a long-term view and you don't, you know, kick yourself if you're down 2% after one day, which is easier said than done, but yeah, if you take a long-term view at it, and if you have belief in it, then it's like any other thing that you could invest in, art, gold, you know, anything. It's just diversifying your portfolio, and just having, I'm not saying buy all of Bitcoin, but put all of your portfolio into Bitcoin. But yeah, a part of your portfolio can certainly not harm you, I don't think. And obviously, George, that's something that you've done that's gone quite well for you, because I believe it's probably, well, I assume it's probably done the best out of
Yes,
everything that
definitely. I'm
you've dabbled in.
far happier with my crypto portfolio than I am with anything managed by anyone or anything that I have picked myself.
No.
That's for sure. They're definitely doing better than the ones that I've picked. That is definite.
Yeah, I can
So, George,
add to that sentiment as well.
if I wanted to, so when I get over myself and I start to get myself into buying some Bitcoin, how do I start? What platforms are good to use? Can I go to a brewery shops to get it? I mean, where
Well,
do I get a
there's
Vitalik
a lot of ways
Bitcoin
of
or
doing it.
Ethereum Vital?
There's a lot of apps now that are basically trading platforms for crypto. So you've got Coinbase and Kraken and Binance and places like that. So that's just as you would for any other sort of trading platform. You sign up, do your KYC stuff, and deposit some money, and away you go. If you're going to get really serious into Bitcoin, I would look at having a something called a hardware wallet where you can put your Bitcoin and keep it safe. Because while it's in that trading environment, you don't actually own them. If you don't have the actual keys to your Bitcoin, anything could happen to them. So if you're going to put a significant amount of money in, so over a few thousand pounds, I'd say, it's safer to go down that route, I think, and just transfer your money out of the trading platform onto your hardware wallet, and put it under your mattress and forget about it.
Is that expensive to set up? Is that, or is it
Making the
free,
account
or is
is
it
free,
as well?
with obviously some fees. Getting a hardware wallet can just be as simple as writing on a piece of paper, and that's called a cold wallet. You could just write the keys to your Bitcoin wallet on a piece of paper, and just
Okay.
I found an old wallet when I was looking through some files the other day, and I thought, Jesus, this is it. I'm a millionaire. But I'd actually emptied the wallet years ago. But yeah, I was my watch actually
Oh
told me that I was having heart palpitations, because as soon as I found it, I was like, Jesus, this is it. But there's actually nothing there. But yeah, so that's a really safe
yeah.
way of keeping it. And you could keep copies of it in different places. But yeah, it's definitely best to make sure that you can actually control them if you're going to put a load of money in, for sure.
So
So,
go on, Ed.
well, so just on that pen and paper thing, you get a number, do you? A code, a serial number, and that is attributed to you and
yeah, so
you alone, or
because
does anyone
the
do you use that
blockchain is
number, or?
completely decentralized, everyone has the same copy of everything. So everyone knows what Bitcoin is in each wallet, and you just need to agree. And that's part of the network. So what you'd get
Right.
from making a wallet, you can use a program called Electrum, which is completely free. And you get what's called a seed for your wallet, which is just a random sequence of words. And from there, you should be able to restore your wallet. If you lost it from your computer, say, you just put that seed back in, and it would go, yeah, that's the wallet. And because the
Right.
blockchain is decentralized, you connect to the network, and it goes, yep, you should have this many Bitcoin in your wallet. And yeah, you're back to where you were.
Well, I didn't even know that. I thought I use Coinbase, which was recommended by you, George. And interestingly,
Yes.
funny enough, that's just IPO'd. And that's probably the biggest. Well, probably that and Binance are probably the biggest marketplaces to sort of easily invest and buy and sell cryptocurrencies and a range of different cryptocurrency. But I thought just having that in there and having that account, I thought that was safe enough. I thought it would mirror like a Hargreaves Lansdown or something like that, that, but obviously there's
Yeah,
another layer of security
it's
that
not
I was
unsafe,
missing.
but if you've got a significant amount of money in there, I would after a while consider transferring that that somewhere else. But to someone that's just looking to maybe flip it in a few months, or you know, that if you've got a relatively small amount of Bitcoin in there, I don't think it's going to be much of a problem. I don't think Coinbase is going to, you know, be ransomware and they're going to lose all their keys. I think they're pretty smart about that sort of stuff. So I think it's okay. I mean, you know, it's just like the same as putting a load of money in, as you said, Hargreaves or Fidelity. Technically, it could all go Pete Tong and that the company should go bankrupt and whatever, but you know, it's very, very, very unlikely.
No, that makes complete sense.
Just looking at the Coinbase share price now, by looks of things, which came online at 8 or 6:30 today, so we're currently nine at 7 o'clock. So it's only been live for about 40 minutes, and it went right up to about 4:20 and has crashed right back down to 2:50. But it's interesting how that's behaving. I mean, I thought myself before it IPO'd, I thought, well, that could go way of sort of like a GameStop type situation. But I mean, Coinbase just screams memes to me. I mean, it's going to get a lot of people interested who maybe don't know much about how IPOs work and stuff like that. So I thought it might actually go up a bit higher than that, but and hold there. But it seems that
I
everyone's
don't
cashed
know
out on
too
the profit
much
already.
about
But
how much it was underwritten or anything, but it's going to be like MicroStrategy or
yeah.
who was it? Argo. It's sort of like an investment vehicle that is like investing in Bitcoin because
Yeah,
it
like
will, I
crypto
assume it will track the
investment.
price fairly well.
Oh.
I've
Oh no.
triggered
You
Jack, I'm sorry.
you've mentioned it. I thought we'd be able to get through the whole entire episode without ever hearing that word, but right at the end it's caught us. And if we had a klaxon, it'd be going off right now, because
I need to find a klaxon, so I need to get hold of an air horn to stop Jack from mentioning the word Argo.
Well, I never want to mention it. I never want to hear the damn thing again in my life. But no. So I guess maybe to wrap things up, we usually do like a buy, hold, sell feature. But it being it, you might have a view on maybe your buy, George, would be crypto. What are your thoughts on what, if you're an investor, you listen to this, you go, right, okay, I like the sound of it. How would you approach, putting your money where your mouth is, and
Yeah, I
what would you
mean,
kind of,
I
what do you have a
will
good
say
feeling
buy
about? What would you look
crypto.
at?
Don't sell your house to buy it. But I think some exposure is good, even if it's just as a way of, you know, maybe picking up a small amount of money in the next few months and then never touching it again. But my position will be held for years, I reckon, and I'll keep adding to it over small amounts of time, when it seems right. I mean, I've been waiting for that over the last few months and just kept going up, so maybe I should just do some dollar cost averaging and just keep putting money in. I don't know, but I definitely get hold of some crypto.
Yeah, and I think it probably makes sense, right? Like you said at the start, to look at Bitcoin and Ethereum, like the top two, because they're the ones in the news there. I know Ethereum's not spoken to as much, but that is sort of the second biggest player. And then if people feel comfortable, they can obviously start digging into Dogecoin
I'd stay
and
away from those for the
SushiSwap and all
time
of
being.
those
I don't
ones.
think they're as interesting personally.
But
Yeah,
Elon
that I
swears
mean that
by
is a literal meme. It is a literal
it.
meme coin designed to be a meme. I mean, what the
Yeah.
hell?
I think Ed spent
Do
half a day trying to mine Dogecoin.
you
What, for a laugh, I thought I downloaded the software. I thought I was going to get like various viruses on my computer. I left a standard PC running overnight, and I thought, right, let's set that up. It said like it may take up to an hour to get your first coins into your wallet. So I thought, right, I'll leave it for a bit. I left it running overnight, came back, and I had absolutely zero coins in my wallet. So I was like, I am deleting this software and getting rid of it before before some Russian con artist finds his way into my servers. But it was, yeah, that was my meme afternoon.
Amazing.
I thought I was going
to
be
a
millionaire.
So I guess, aside from crypto, George, anything else that's on
I'm
your
holding,
radar? Maybe a hold or a sell?
I'll tell you what, boys, I'm still holding Palantir and it's bleeding. But I'm still holding and I will continue to hold Palantir. And I still stand by my LNG cybersecurity ETF. Going to hold on to those for a long time.
Yeah.
In terms of selling, there's nothing that I really want to sell at the moment. Apart from I'm getting a little bit scared about inflation and potential market corrections. So maybe reducing my exposure to the NASDAQ in the short term. I think technology stocks could be a little bit overpriced. They're trading at like PE ratios of 30 plus, some craziness. So, I mean, what the hell?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. But
yeah,
I think there's definitely some spice to come in the next year or so in terms of all this money printing that's going on.
Yeah, I think you're right with the tech overpricing stuff. Yeah, even like just saying a P of 30,
yeah,
it kind
definitely
of raises your eyebrows a bit. Ed, seeing as you suggest that I may or may not copy or piggyback off your suggestions, do you want to go? Wait, no, actually. If you suggest that I copy you, I should go first.
I should go next. Yeah, you go first. You go first. I'm fine.
Yeah.
No, you go first.
Okay. So my buy would be SSP.
Again.
Yeah, again, but for a reason that we kind of, yeah, well, we kind of found out that, well, we should have known, but last week there was a rights issue. And yeah, the share price reflects that now. And I think for a long time we were looking at it around the 350 mark, and we thought that was a good price, and it's now sitting at just a shade over 300. So even though I'm sat on a little bit of a loss at the moment, I think it's even a better buy than it was last week, so I'd probably go with that.
Just on that rights issue, actually, just because I with that rights issue, the amount of shares that you want to get, if you held the rights before the date, the amount of extra shares that you'll get offered will basically bring you out at a similar position to what you were at the moment. It's looking like you might end up 10% better off than you were previously. You do have to buy into the shares, the extra shares that they're offering. They give you one for every 10 shares you currently hold, but this has passed, I must say, and they're due to go in and on the 18th, I think it's due to transact. But then you get, essentially, if you were in the stock and you've bought the extra 10%, you'll end up with a similar number of shares to what you had before, but in terms of value, but actually you might get a little bit more profit out of it after the 18th, just the way it will fall and settles. They have priced it so the market cap remains the same, but maybe with a little bit up to 10% profit.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
My hold would be my JP Morgan or any emerging markets fund. There was a bit of a dip in the last couple of months and they've been a little bit shaky, but I think they're on the turn now and they're going to kind of do what they did last year and really go on like a rapid rise. And I think some uncertainty in America will be reflected in people sort of being more certain with putting their money in emerging markets, especially places like Japan and China and stuff like that. So that was one that I was a little bit worried about, but I think that's a hold because I can see that bouncing back. A sell, I'm not really like, I don't really have a sell, to be honest. I think I can't remember what I said last week. I can't remember.
You probably had enough of ASOS, I think.
Yeah, I actually think I said I held ASOS, but it's been a bit of a disastrous week, to be honest with it. And I think the time will come quite soon that I would sell that because I think the opening of the high street, whilst I was quite bullish on that not affecting ASOS, I actually think given the scenes and the queues and stuff, I actually think that it's going to have quite an effect on the share price and investors' confidence at where it's priced now, because the PE is again very high. So I think that would be my sell.
For me, this week, buy is Anglo American. It's I know I talk a lot about stocks in oil and mining and stuff, but for me, Anglo American, they give a very strong dividend. So, just looking to diversify my portfolio within a sector, for me, Anglo American's very good. So strong dividend, and at the moment, it's still a relatively low price. It's climbed in the last month. It's climbed 12.6%. So that's a bit of growth there as well. So it's done quite well. For me to hold, interesting. George mentioned tech companies and the Nasdaq tech companies particularly. I've paid a lot of attention today. In my a lot of my research has been around Microsoft, because traditionally it's been one of those stocks that's just slowly grown. It's paid a pretty substantial dividend. I mean, Bill Gates has hardly not done too badly out of it, has he? So he's obviously some money in there somewhere. But for me, it's at a point where it could go one way or the other. And I think George is right. It's a volatile state. So I think I'll hang off buying for now. But I think once I get it at a good price, I'll definitely hang on to that, because it's a stock that continually grows, and normally grows at a pretty sustained rate, but in the last year has grown a little bit more than you'd expect it to. So probably that trend needs to correct a little. So it's a maybe sell, maybe hold. So it's a bit of a dodgy one for me. But and then in terms of just to sell, I think it's come to the time for me to get rid of my Carnival holdings. I'll put it in there just in case like some good news spiked it up, but it hasn't really held, and I think actually there's a bit of distrust in it from the market. They issued a load of bonds which they promised to pay back up to 20% on some of them, but a lot of them were 10% bonds, which within 2 years or something. So it's a lot of money from the stump up somewhere, and they're currently burning about $500 million a month, which is it's just a huge burn rate. Yeah, and I thought that it might be worth a little punt if Boris comes out and says some good news about we can all go on a cruise soon. I thought it might just pick up 10% as it has done previously, but it hasn't yet. And there isn't much more good news to come, really, is there? We know
They're still
the
paying the
roadmap. We
dividend
know
on
where
that.
things are going to stand in 2 months' time. So for me,
Crazy.
no, I think they've held dividends. I think they had to raise. They managed to raise about 8 billion to get them through what they thought would be the coronavirus period. But I think if they don't get trading by June properly, end of May, June, then they really
Oh
are
my.
in big trouble, because they will run out of cash physically. And those ships, they've got a lot of them, and they're very expensive to run. They're currently still fully crewed, as you have to moored out in. They're moored out in free spaces to moor in. They're not as if they're getting mooring fees, but
Blimey.
they do cost a lot to
That's
run.
insane.
So it's half a billion a month. It's not loose change, that's for sure. I think also it may have opened their eyes up to how focused they are on their one business. Having no diversification in your business, it just leaves you wide open to something like this just absolutely screwing you over. So there may be a lot of businesses that traditionally have looked at one sector to provide income that are now looking to diversify. So for me, sell a Carnival.
Cool. Well, I think that wraps everything up. But yeah, George, thanks very much for jumping on and very knowledgeable insights into what has been a bit of a hot topic that I guess me and Ed, yeah, haven't been that involved in. So yeah, it was really good to get your thoughts on it. And right now, I'll just go and plow a load of money into Bitcoin, and I'll see you in Vegas.
Yeah, George, thank you much for that. I think we might get you on again sometime soon to talk a bit more, because I think this is a subject that we could keep coming back to, and we'll keep finding new avenues to talk to I know also you're quite
Sure,
as
thanks
one
for
other
having me, guys.
stop.
It's been an absolute
Be good to
pleasure.
get you on the pod again sometime soon. Yeah, cool. All right, well, thank you very much,
Right.
guys. We'll see you next week.